Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
That play, both ends of it, were incredible. You have Justin Fields rolling to his left. He's become really good at turning, squaring his shoulders to make a throw. That throw looked easy. It's not. The beauty of last night, if last week's game against San Francisco, if you didn't give it credit because San Francisco's not very good and Justin Fields spent a big portion of the game running last week and he only threw for 175 yards, if you were dismissive of that last week, he showed you all the passing stuff in this game. You want to dart over the middle against his own look? I can do that. You want me to go down the sidelines for 50 yards? I can do that. You want me to throw on the run? I can do that. You want me to bait a defender? I can do that. You want me to throw a ball that has touch on the sideline? I can do that. You can put together a combine-esque highlight reel of the throws that Justin Fields made in last night's game. But the beauty was they were against real competition on the road on Monday Night Football.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
From the Hyde Park studios of The Score, bass drop! Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. Coming up on the show today, Evan Moore is going to join me at 1 o'clock. We're going to talk with him about what happened with the Blackhawks, and we're going to talk about his book, Game is Conduct, Hockey's Toxic Culture, and How to Fix It. So we'll do that at 1 o'clock. Next, though, we are going to get into the weeds with Dan Durkin. He has broken down the film of Justin Fields. He's got thoughts on some of the throws and the progress that he's making on progressions. We'll discuss that next here on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
See that Bears game last week?
Yeah, hell of a game, hell of a game. Bears got a great team this year.
Let's go into the film room with Dan Durkin.
I thought this tape was going to be a conversation stimulator, man.
Dan breaks down every Bears game like no other.
I'm going to go back and watch it. I'm going to evaluate myself and see where I was. And then if there's any drops in there, those guys are going to hear it. I'm going to get on them.
Lawrence Holmes with Dan Durkin now on 670 The Score.
Actually, a pretty decent film.
Dan joins me on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino, home of the world's largest sports book. You can follow Dan on Twitter at DJ Durkin. You can also go to YouTube for the All 22 review. Mr. Durkin, thank you so much for joining me.
How are you, Lawrence?
Man, I am doing really well. And I got to tell you, watching Justin Fields play and watching what he was able to do on Monday night was impressive. What were the things that we saw? Because, we saw the throws, and I want to get into that. But did we see him improve as a processor of defenses?
There's no doubt about it. And I think that, you know, for the second straight week, he was the best player on the field in very crucial moments of the game. The things that we've talked about a lot, ball placement, accuracy, the touch, the threading the ball into tight windows, you're seeing all of that. But I think what I really saw very significantly take a step forward against the Steelers was his pre-snap identification and recognizing what the defense is potentially going to do to him post-snap. And so what the Steelers did a lot in this game, it was really interesting to watch. Minka Fitzpatrick is fantastic, and he was fantastic on Monday night. But the way that Butler was using him was basically – they were showing him as a single high, so like the single high free safety over the top of the defense at the beginning of the snap, but then he was basically coming down or buzzing down into the hole. So almost like the inverse of what you think of like Brian Urlacher when he would run the seam in Tampa 2, they were bringing him down. So they went from a single high look to a two high look. They ran a lot of cover two against Field. And he was recognizing it. And for the first time in a long time, he was making defenses pay for putting that shell over the top of it. You saw them go down the field. You saw him checking plays at the line of scrimmage. If you go to the Allen Robinson throw, that 39-yarder, he recognized right off the bat that's a situation where there was single high over the top. He checked at the line of scrimmage, and he moved to that slot fade. He got the matchup he wanted against Mallett, and he threaded another perfect ball. So now, in real time, you are seeing a rookie quarterback understand what the defense is trying to do to disguise and use deception against him, and he's making them pay for it. So I think that such a tremendous amount of growth in a short period for Justin Fields is a very encouraging sign.
Let's talk about the route tree for a second. I'm looking at these throws, whether it's the bullet over the middle to Kmet, the arcer on the sidelines to Robinson, the bomb to Marquise Goodwin. I felt like I was watching a guy get every throw in the route tree and do it very confidently.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the biggest benefits in a quarterback like Justin Fields is he is a threat to every level of the defense. And he knows how to modulate his throws. What do I mean by that? He knows when to throw with pace and zip, and he knows how to throw with touch. And you're right. He can throw a deep over. He can throw a comeback. He can throw a fade. He can throw a go. He can throw an angle route. He can throw the screen. Everything in the playbook is on with him. You're not limited by, is he going to be able to see this throw and then make it? And not only that is, the other thing that showed up a couple times against the Steelers as well was his ability to make throws from the pocket. He had a couple really nice, clean pockets. And NFL throws to me are from the opposite hash to the sidelines, and he hit a few of those. Those are really hard throws to make because you're giving the defense so much time to adjust to the ball while it's in flight. But again, this comes back to his ability to get the ball out and get the ball where it needs to be before the defenders get there. You saw some tight window throws that he threaded in. I'm still debating which throw was my favorite in the game, and I think it was the one that he threw to Jimmy Graham at the beginning of the fourth quarter. So what happened on that play was Again, it's another recognition. This is a post-snap recognition. The first read in that progression was a hitch to the sideline. So he hitches, means he's, you know, getting his feet underneath him, getting ready to throw the ball. And then he realizes that there's a defender sitting in the flat there, without hesitation, immediately gets his eyes off of that, recognizing that is not open, turns to Jimmy Graham, and the ball is out. And so that was a cover three. So it was a single high safety over the top, and then there's a seam runner with Jimmy Graham. And that window was shrinking so fast. He put the ball perfectly right there. Again, what's not open, my first read, I'm coming to my second read, and I'm throwing the ball without hesitation. You saw him hesitate earlier in the season on those throws. He's recognizing what NFL open means. NFL open could be 18 inches, the width of somebody's shoulders, and he's putting the ball there. So, I mean, I was so encouraged. You'd like to see them get the win in this game, but everything, I can't stress this enough, everything about this season is his maturation and his development, and you're seeing it in real time, and you're seeing him, I think, go at a much faster pace than I thought he was going to as a rookie.
Did we see the Bears coaches adapt any in this game?
We did, and you know, the things that I did like seeing in that one were, you know, more design runs for Fields, which was nice to see. He's a chain mover when it comes to that. One of the biggest advancements, this is something you and I have just been, you know, kind of bashing our heads against the wall trying to understand the logic behind it. You saw them chipping with their tight ends and their wide receivers on Watt before they went out into their route. And so if these guys are your flat or your, you know, your low level, if they're running a crosser or if they're, you know, just like your check downs, use them as an extra blocker. Even if they're not going to sit there for two clicks, at least let them get a little bit better leverage on the person who is responsible, and then they release out into their routes. You saw them doing that repeatedly. So that was a big step forward in terms of enhancing their protection scheme. And then the Wildcat, you know, I thought that they caught the Steelers off guard several times with that. Mooney obviously scored off of it. It seemed to me that they were predetermined, whether they were keeping or if they were, you know, giving on each of those. I think it went like keep, give, like the five times that they did it, which is fine, and it worked. And I thought that David Montgomery handled it quite well. So I like to see these check and adjust type things from the coaching staff. There were still some pet peeves, you know, that always happened in the games. But in terms of the coaching staff starting to self-scout and recognize, hey, what do we need to do to put our players in a better position to succeed? You saw some of that against the Steelers.
What were your pet peeves?
So there are a few of them. Like the first one, why did the first play call on third down include the primary receiver running short of the sticks? Can anybody ever explain that to me? And then not only that, his back is to the defense. So now, you know, they did complete it to Allen Robinson, but he's got to turn around, find the defender, and then get up from there. Didn't happen. So that one really bothered me. They ran a stick concept, 3 yards. They needed five. He was smothered as soon as he caught the ball. Why was the first play action throw in the second quarter? Why was the first design bootleg in the second quarter? Justin Fields is, in terms of passer efficiency, the third best in the league behind Dak Prescott and Justin Herbert on design bootlegs. Why are you waiting until the second quarter to do these types of things? And the other is just settling for field goals in the low red zone. This is where, when I come back to the design runs for Fields, use them there. That's where he's going to be the most effective. You know that the defense is keyed up and geared to stop the run. That's exactly when you use him on a boot, and now you've got, you know, he's faster than 70% of the defenders on the field. Let him make a play there. So there are some things that are still a little bothersome. So it's a one step forward, two steps back from the coaching staff. But, you know, I think it's strange to think now 2 weeks in a row your rookie quarterback has delivered and put your team in a position to win and succeed in that, and the defense let it down. So I think that there are still obviously some things for them to clean up in the bye week. There's a chance for them to get healthy in the bye week, but just some things that are continually irritating me when I watch this team play.
What do you make of all of the penalties in the last 2 weeks of the Bears lining up offsides?
Lawrence, they missed like three or four of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, they only called a couple of them. Cassius Marsh was lined up offsides like three times, and Robert Quinn was lined up offsides a couple times too. To me, it speaks to just an inherent lack of discipline. I mean, just like you see receivers do it when they'll look to the line judge and say, hey, am I on? Am I good? Am I good? Okay, cool. Now I'm going to get up and I'm going to, you know, concentrate on when the ball is going to be snapped and getting into my route. The defenders can do the same type of thing. So the fact that was happening was really bothersome. But there was a theme in the game. game, just a lack of discipline in general. Jakeem Grant's decision-making on bringing the ball out of the end zone. Like, well, what are you doing? I know you're trying to make a play, but that to me is a lack of discipline. You know, the offsides penalties that you talked about. And then what the penalties cost them on offense, a touchdown. They cost them a first down. They wiped out a long third down completion to Jakeem Grant because there was an eligible man downfield. So I think that this team is still largely uncoordinated in many ways, and that to me stems straight back to the head coach.
Speaking of the head coach, what would you suggest to Matt Nagy? Winning is not really part of this equation to me because I don't think his team's good enough to win. How does he go about impressing upon Bears ownership that he's the right guy to guide Justin Fields in the last 8 weeks of the season?
You need to check your ego at the front door of Halas Hall. This isn't about you anymore. I hope that he recognizes that he should be in self-preservation mode at this point in time. The only way you can instill any, so I mean, let me get one thing clear. I think he's gone. I'm just going to be honest with it, but to play out the question. The only way you could potentially change hearts and minds inside that building is to continue to see this ascension from Justin Fields. If he's the best player on the field every week from here on out and he's putting up, you know, really complete numbers, that to me makes the argument a little bit more compelling to say, hey, look, begrudgingly, my hand was forced to play him, but now look what I did, and look how I changed my offense, and look how I brought this in here, and look what he did as a consequence of it. But I think that that hole is probably dug a little bit too deep. But at this point in time, it's not about you. It's about Justin. Recognize that and do what you can to maximize. Do right by Justin. He's the future of the franchise, because I don't think Nagy is.
Follow Dan on Twitter. At DJ Durkin is where you can find him. You can also check out the All 22 review on YouTube. As always, sir, thank you for the time and the education.
Thank you. We finally have All 22 footage to break down, so I'm looking forward to doing some on the bye week.
He's going to be doing that all bye week. That is Dan Durkin. He's great, and I love when he is here to break stuff down for our show. I want to, if I can, go back into the Scottie Pippen stuff just a little bit. I saw some people responded via text message, and I want to go into that and kind of talk a little bit more about it. I think it's interesting, and I've got some feelings about it, and I think a lot of Bulls fans do as well. I'm Lawrence. You're listening to me until 2 o'clock here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
There's a bunch of ways that you can be a part of the show. You can text us at 312-644-6767. People can watch the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. There's a chat in there, so if you want to talk about some of these topics that we're on, or sometimes it's just a whole world of its own inside the Twitch chat, you can do that there. But twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. I was talking during transition with Dan and Layla, and I wanted to ask Dan specifically because he covered Scotty. But getting Layla's perspective as someone who's covered the league more closely than the two of us have over the last few years, it was great too. And we were talking about Scottie Pippen. I'm a huge Scottie Pippen fan. I've said multiple times he's my favorite player of all time. I don't know if that's I might not be alone in that. I'm sure that there are some people of a certain age that grew up loving Scottie Pippen as a player too. And seeing the way that he's been reacting publicly, and some people can dismiss it and say it's just him trying to sell a book. And if that's the case, okay. But I don't think that he's even effectively doing that, or effectively selling. Is it bourbon that he's distilling now or whatever?
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah. All this stuff that Scotty has been attached to over the last year or year and a half or so, I don't think that he's effectively marketing it, and maybe that's making him frustrated, and maybe he feels like he has to turn the volume up a little more. There were a couple of really good comments here back to back via text. This texter says, the only thing we did as fans was not give him as much admiration as the GOAT. Scotty clearly is in emotional pain. At this point, his legacy is being affected, though. The target of legacy is a little bit nebulous on what ends up being important for people and what they want to have remembered. But yeah, I think that the way that we view him has changed. And I think that there have been, throughout Scotty's career in Chicago, there have been missteps that for the most part have been forgiven. And maybe The Last Dance, the way that it portrayed him in such a way that, oh yeah, I remember the 1.8 and the bad contract and how he acted at the end. All of that stuff gets brought back up. And maybe you're like, man, why you gotta bring up all that old stuff? This texter says there's a bit of a Kanye Hove vibe. And I think that's a really interesting criticism of Pippen. The only thing that I would say is that Kanye, whether you like it or not, has a claim to greatest rapper of all time. And he's clearly the best producer turned rapper of all time. But I'm not saying that he is. I'm saying that he is one of the few people that can actually say, I belong in that conversation. We all know that the answer is Rakim. But it raises an interesting point about Ye, where, is that what he's going by now? Yeezy, Ye, Donda's son. Anyway,
I think he goes by Louis Vuitton Don?
I think that he legally changed his name to Ye. I could be wrong about that, but it's whatever. Professor Don, Dr. Donda's son, where, yeah, what we think should fulfill him doesn't look like it's fulfilling him. And maybe it's the same thing with Scottie Pippen, where we look at him and we go, damn, dude, you were right there, man. Jordan probably couldn't have won those, all six of those titles, without you. And you were the perfect complement to the growing of his game, and he was the perfect complement to yours, and look at what you accomplished. Look at you being one of the 50th greatest players of all time. Look at the winning of Olympic gold, the money, like all of that stuff. Like, maybe we look at that and say, if I had that, I would have enough. And maybe he looks at it and says, it's not enough. And the same thing with Kanye, where, yay, Dr. Donda's son.
It's official, yeah. He changed his name October 18, 2021.
Okay, so yay, where we look at him and go, you have classic albums. You have verses that people will remember for forever. You may have changed the trajectory of hip hop in a city. Your style of producing is like, people know it when they hear it. You hear a sped up loop, you hear a lot of melody and piano, you know that Kanye, yay, was a part of it. And while we'll sit here and go, you got to wherever it is the top of the industry was, is that enough? And the answer comes back, no, it's not enough. And I'm not sure what to do with it. Like, I go through this too. Like, I go through this on a much, much, much smaller level of, I get really mad when people say, Lawrence, you should have more time. The score should give you more time. I negotiated this. I'm really happy with what I'm doing. I appreciate that you want more for me, but this is, for right now, what I want for myself. And it's like, how do you go about giving people what they need when they don't quite tell you what they need? Like, does Scotty want a parade? Because I feel like Chicago would give him one. Who does he want the validation from? Because I think we're all creatures of that. Like, we all love getting that validation. And maybe it's Jordan himself. And maybe that's what pushed him. That he felt like The Last Dance was an opportunity for him to get that validation. And then he walks away going, man, I got criticized for that instead of getting validation. I appreciate you being involved in the conversation via text or on Twitch. Unfortunately, we have to, at least for now, put it on hold. Why? Because we're going to talk hockey. Evan Moore, friend of the show, friend of the station, wrote a great book called Game Misconduct about hockey and hockey culture.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
It's more relevant now than ever. He joins me next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.